wait, let's make sure. We gotta start this off right. So, do a little browsing here. Oh yeah.
One two.
Check.
Hello.
All those
Hello.
Other numbers.
We're just warm bodies.
1-0, 1-1.
Test. That one's on. Everybody else?
Yeah, I'm cool.
Okay.
I think we're on.
All right. And let's test the tunes.
Is this because Natus is lame?
Music match, huh?
Hey, it comes from Dell. What can I do?
Mic check. Biatch.
I was just making fun of music match.
Spider. Are we calling this the indecent version of Binary Revolution?
Oh, there's no such thing as a decent version of Binary Revolution Radio.
Oh, the language, my ears.
Any sound coming from? Pump it.
Will never find me because I'm everywhere. See, yo, dog, you got something new? Hit me off on ICQ. I'll help you back and jive. I got some top notch shit on iDrive. You shut one site down, we multiply. Like a phoenix from a different place, we rise. Then you got the squares. Yo, dude, you're stealing, don't you care? LOL, bitch, I got a terabyte of wear. I like my files, sit or rare. I download 700 seconds from 1,000 sites. I drink coffee, snort speed, I'll stay up all night.
I'm gonna give it a little time for it to trickle. Of course, we're late. Alright, so. The theme song. I have to start this off right.
Hello, and welcome and to Binary Revolution Radio. Oh, wait, sorry.
Episode 157. So, for those of you who don't know, and all we're doing here is we've got some pictures, screen show, so you have something else to look at besides me, because you can only take so much of looking at me. These guys, on the other hand, feel free to stare at them. I think the longer you stare, the more they'll take off. But, you know. So, for those of you who don't know, feedback, this is Binary Revolution Radio. This is the first episode of Season 4 of the radio show. Oh, yeah, there's going to be some good stuff, so spontaneous laughter is highly encouraged.
Whatabigcock.com, just so everyone knows.
And there will be, anybody who has any asthma, has problems, heart problems, pregnant women who may be nursing, any of that, you might want to step out because there will be some language issues in this, I'm sure, because that's one of the great things about doing an internet radio show. One of the things that we've always been, I've known from day one that this is the medium and the only medium that we can really do something like this, not only for the content of the hacking and the technology and stuff that goes along with it, but also because we can speak freely and say what we want. I don't have to deal with FCC regulations, and I don't have to wait for once every 2 years to do an indecent version. Every version's indecent on Binary Revolution Radio. So, we started, and I'm going to do a little history kind of first. I already look out here, and I know a lot of people are longtime friends of the show, so we appreciate you coming out. But for anybody who's not familiar with the show, we started Binary Revolution Radio around the middle of 2003, 3 seasons ago. Fourth one is starting today, like I said earlier. But it actually kind of has some roots before that. Before Binary Revolution Radio, I was on a show that was started by some good friends of mine, Dual Parallel, and that would be Troops. Some of you guys will recognize some of the pictures on there. Started by one of my good friends, Dual Parallel, and another good friend of ours, Rack. That's a fresh picture right there.
Everybody, this is just a side show. Pay attention to us, please.
Yeah, I'm warning you. They might see some pretty explicit stuff. There's no bear TNA, I don't think. Unless you
could be some of my TNA. So just bear with us.
So yeah, Radio Freak America was a show started by a good friend of mine, Dual Parallel, and I spoke too soon. Actually, on that picture, Natus, why don't you come on up here with us for a few minutes? This is Natus, everybody, who's also been on the show several times.
Full back grabber himself.
And as you can see, Natus is pretty fearless. He has no
fajir. It was stuffed. It was a shirt.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure it was.
I swear to Bob.
That's exactly what he meant.
So, of course, who you see here, this is the DDP. These are some of the guys that we do a lot of our projects with. Some of these guys that we meet up with at several of these conventions. Great guys, intelligent. Well, for the most part, you know. Okay, let's.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Intelligent, and then the. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, these guys are like the heart and soul of the show, along with a lot of other people that are out there. I'm going to go through and bring some people up too, because the cool thing about the show is that we bring people up that are knowledgeable in different subjects about hacking. Kind of to go back, back to RFA again. RFA was a show that covered a lot of different things. And if you've probably seen some of the pictures pop up, the slogan was technology, privacy, and freedom.
Knowledge
and freedom. So, and actually, Rax, of course, was one of the founders of that show. So, Rax, thank you for helping get the whole internet hacking genre. It started off, you know, back with HackerMind was a show that was on for a little while, and RFA, which I loved, and I became good friends with Duel and Rax because of the radio show. And speaking of Duel, how is that for perfect timing? And there's Duel and I last at the Hope Number 5. Where he and I kind of had been friends from my articles in 2600, from him on the radio show. I supported what he was doing. I thought it was a great thing, and we started building the show up. And I kind of wanted a little bit more structured type of show. So kind of about halfway through it, we decided we kind of branch off two shows. And that was my elite Photoshop skills you just saw there, too. We thought we'd start a new show that was focusing only on the technology, only on the hacking, the freaking, some fringe things like urban exploration, any kind of general technology type topics would fit on there, okay? We kind of had one rule, and the rule was no politics. And we've stuck with that from day one, and that's one of the things I've been most proud of. I'm not going to bash any presidents. I'm not going to get up and complain. I might complain about the government once in a while, but I'll keep it minimized. I'll go off on a little rant occasionally. Yeah, there's the money shot, see? So we'll go into, you know, I'll go into some rants, and that's why I kind of already warn you that, yeah, there's going to be some language issues that you'll hear once in a while, but it's because we do have that freedom. So.
That's Natus again.
Natus is the star of the show, man. Natus is. So I guess I lied. There was A, but there was no T yet. I don't think there's any T, unfortunately, but, you know. But feel free if somebody wants to, you know. Anyway. Rax, you want to come up for a couple minutes?
Sure.
Rax, ladies and gentlemen, one of the founders of Radio Freak America. No, stay there. Because we got a mic here.
Another microphone we didn't test.
Hi. I thought there was two rules for BinRev. No politics and mandatory swearing.
It's not mandatory, because sometimes I'll have a guest on there that, out of respect and courtesy, I will not drop the F-bomb. But those are few and far between.
Who is this person that you won't drop the F-bomb in front of? Because I don't think
fuck
they
you.
Exist.
His mother.
Apparently it's not me. Episode 17 with Stank and his mom.
I'll tell you one. Ilanka, a very good friend of mine, and I, out of respect for her, that she's such a great person, that I don't like to use that language around her. There you go. There's your example.
Great comeback, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Anyway, Radio Freak America, why don't you talk for a few minutes about that?
RFA. Duel is in, we don't want to drop too much of that.
Right, right.
But I think people know he's in Albuquerque, and I'm in Phoenix, and he shows up to one of our 2600 meetings. Really friendly guy. Really friendly. Creepily friendly. I'm thinking, this guy's fed. And he's going, yeah, well, you know, I'm thinking about doing this and that. And he said, you know, wanted to do a radio show. So, yeah, that's cool, so let's talk about it. Figured it out. Did it all through over the phone. The first thing was, any trivia buffs out there? We've probably covered this too many times, but first episode of RFA, air date?
Oh man, I should know this.
I should know this. It's my site that it's on now.
Yeah. 02, well, the first bit was recorded 02-02-02. First broadcast was 02-20-02. And came up with the name Radio Freak America, because Duel, by the way, I'm wearing this in honor of Duel here. He is a true freak in the sense, and by freak, I don't mean a telephone enthusiast, but anyway. So
there are a lot of freaks on RFA.
Yes, that's true. So we talked about, you know, just what in that we wanted to do. So he was doing the phone freaking kind of thing, and I thought, you know, Radio Free America. Well, Radio Freak. So that's why it was Free K, capital K at the end. It was free knowledge, keep knowledge free, which was always my slogan. So that's why it was technology, privacy, freedom and knowledge or something like that. Anyway, so we're going to make these stickers up for Hope a couple of years ago, and we just couldn't fit everything on there, so I cut knowledge off of there. But so we did that for quite a while. We mainly did it. We taught ourselves all the stuff, Matt. This is, you know, pre-podcasting days as we were doing all these things. And we just said, yeah, let's just throw it out there and see what to do. We'd come up with a show. Unlike Stank, who has show novels. Right.
So we yeah, would, I don't we have show
like,
notes.
We would like shoot a little text pad over to each other just like 3 minutes before we were going to record. Did everything over the phone, used Audacity, played with all the stuff, and just had kind of fun and started talking about the various things. So it started really as an outshoot of our Phoenix 2600 meeting, and worked on it. Did it? Yeah, that was last night. Anyway. Started doing that. I actually had the opportunity, and I can't talk too much about it. Started doing actually a local on-air in Phoenix radio show on the dark side of technology, and had hopes of taking that, syndicating that. Didn't quite make it with that, but possibilities. I might be able to do something else with a non-traditional air broadcast kind of thing for that. So anyway, that's about it. And then Stank started showing up, and it's like a stray cat. You feed him once, they keep coming back.
Keep coming
and that's,
back.
That's exact. So
can't get rid of me.
Can't get rid of you.
Can't get rid of me. So, hey, thank you for coming up here. And actually, Wintermute, why don't you come on up? Because it's kind of where you come into the story here. Wintermute, also a good friend of ours from RFA days, who's been around for quite a while. Someone who we're very proud of right now, going out there getting the education. So he's kind of been out for a little while. So we're glad to have him back today. But Wintermute started on Radio Freak America, what, somewhere around the 30s? Or?
Go back. Hackermind, baby.
Hackermind days.
I don't know. Raise your hand.
And actually, you and I met from Hackermind originally.
Did anyone raise your hand? Hackermind, that show ring a bell? Well, Hackermind, really quick, that show was Screamer Chaotix and Dash Interrupt. They had the show. That was really one of the first hacking online radio, you know, Shoutcast radio shows. I got down with that. I became really good friends with them. Met them at Hope back in 2002, H2K2. You know, really, really made a good friendship there. And in the mix on the forums, met Stank, met Duel, got together. And around episode 25, I want to say, I came on Radio Freak America because at that time, Hackermind was kind of teetering, and it was going to falter, and it just stopped. They stopped recording eventually. So, oh well, that'll be missed. But I got onto RFA. I think the first episode we did, I was a little worried because Rex and Duel I didn't really know them that well and anything but that. But it was cool. What we did, we talked about amateur radio because at the time I was really into amateur radio, still am. And that was a lot of fun. Did a little internet radio linking project. We talked to some different repeaters around the country. And, you know, then pretty soon it turned into like episode 100 of that show. And Duel didn't want to keep going with it as much, so Ben Rev came around.
Well, real life, of course, happens. It's something we've always said on the show, and it's worth repeating here in front of everyone live. Real life is greater than hacking. You know, real life things come first. Family, taking care of kids, getting your job and finances and things like that in order. So that always comes first. The time that it takes to do a weekly show like this, and some others are going to certainly attest to this in a few minutes as well, to do it well and to do it right and consistently, it's not an easy thing to do, especially when we are so, we do take a lot of pride and put a lot of time into doing the research to getting people on the show to talk about these particular topics.
It even takes a long time to do it bad, right?
Well, thank you for adding that in there, yes. You would be the expert on that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, I'll turn it back on you. We started Ben Rev Radio somewhere around, I want to say it was in the 70s, yeah. 60s or 70s episodes of RFA. Duel and I had spoken, you know, it was all on the down low, and that he was probably, you know, he's running out of time to do the show regularly. So we kind of took Ben Rev in a different direction. And as much as I loved RFA and I loved being on it, and I actually got Bland on the show, and Bland and Duel, unfortunately, neither one could make it, but both great friends of mine. So if you're out there watching wherever the camera's at, you know, thanks a lot for hanging in there and helping out with a lot of the stuff that we've done. They're really good friends. We kind of all talked about, you know, the future of the show and, you know, maybe we should keep RFA going and new hosts or whatever. And I didn't really feel right about that because, you know, that was the show they created and kind of wanted to go in a different direction format-wise. With Ben Rev, you know, and I talked to Duel and everybody and everybody's blessings and all that kind of stuff. And we continued doing both shows until we had a good transition set up. But Wintermute and I decided that, you know, we're going to start this new show. I sat down and write my show novels, as they're so accurately described, where I get very verbose. I type a lot of, started off as what a lot of hacker shows start off with now, which is a lot of news topics and opinions thrown in, which we tried to get away from very early. I wanted to be more educational, the shows, and actually teach processes and teach types of hacking. So we kind of went in that direction pretty quickly. But in the beginning, Wintermute and I, we would co-host the show together pretty regularly, and then we started kind of mixing in other people onto the show. So, actually, maybe now, and we'll get Slip Mode up on the show, who's also been doing an internet radio show, and have him talk about In the Now, and he can kind of attest to what it does take to do a radio show. And thank you, Wintermute, for coming up. Appreciate it. Slip. Do what
right.
It is.
Well, I'm Slip Mode. Actually, at the last Hope Conference about this time on a Saturday, I was doing a speech about hacker radio for the Hope Conference back then. And
some of these pictures, I'm sorry, some of these actual pictures are from that presentation. Duel
right.
And myself were sitting up there.
So I do a show. Well, I did a show. I haven't done it in a while. Again, it's life. But I did it for about 4 years, and it's called In the Now. And I started a little bit before Radio Free America. I think I was doing it a year before that. When did HackerMind start? I started about 2001.
About the same time.
Yeah.
So I wasn't familiar with HackerMind at the time. But we were doing a show, me and a buddy of mine named VR. And he's just a guy I've known forever, and we always talked about a lot of very interesting topics. And I said, hey, why don't we talk about it and let people listen to it and just see what they feel about it and if they want to talk about it. And we also include many other guests on the show to talk about the things we're interested in. And those things were obviously, you know, concerned with technology. You know, there's a lot of factors and things that are going on around us in this world that we don't exactly have control of, and it's impacting our lives, and it's very important that people stay abreast of it and know about it. And we try to do our best to talk about those things and get it out there and kind of raise a mental awareness so then it got people thinking, and once you start thinking, maybe you could turn it into action. And that's what we tried to do. So we did that show until June of 2005, and I ended up getting really busy. I was going to school while I was doing the show, but I ended up getting really busy and wanted to take on other projects. So I wouldn't mind doing it again in the future, but things got busy, and I hope to do it again in the future. But you can always check it out at slipnet.org. And, yeah, and I've been on a couple RFA episodes. I've been on a BinRev episode. I've been on Default Radio. And if you want to, you can go to slipnet.org/files. You can check out the old PowerPoint presentation, which actually talked a lot about all these shows that were going on at the time, and the talk was mainly about awareness and all the people that were out there trying to spread awareness and the various methods that they were using it and how hackers have evolved to a next level of communicating other than BBSs now. It's just open forum and conversation, shoutcast, and MP3 and all that stuff. So,
and that's a great segue. Thank you, Slip. Appreciate it. Great segue to a lot of other shows that are out now. And again, download that presentation. Absolutely. It's got links to a lot of that stuff. But it actually has kind of snowballed since then. With BinRev Radio, and as you can already tell from the way the show is going so far, I don't have to do much. I mean, I get great people to come on and do the talking, and I just stand back and act like I did something. So it's kind of snowballed. A lot of shows have since come up. So many, and we've always, you know, I believe very strongly in the internet as a medium to get. It's kind of our last, and I'm not going to get on a soapbox and preach or anything, but it's last place where you can say whatever you want to say. You can say fuck, snitch, shot, pussy, whatever you want to say. Make up words like I just said. You can say them, and fuck shit.
You can even say
fuck
that.
Shit, snot, cock, pussy. I don't know what to say.
Belgium.
What are the 7 words? I don't know. But you can say not only the language, but you don't do it just because you like to say, oh, look, I'm cool, I said the F word, you know, whatever. But you can actually go into rants and talk about things, and I don't have to worry about my show getting taken off the air. I don't have to worry about losing advertisers. I ain't making no money. I'm paying out my nose for the bandwidth for this show. We have at our peak had somewhere around 7,000 or 8,000 downloads of each weekly show. So, a lot of people I hope are enjoying the show and getting a lot out of it. And we've been doing it every week. We have never missed an episode. That's the story, and I'm sticking to it. There were a couple delayed ones. There were some technical difficulties along the way. But we, for the most part, made the show. And so many shows have also come up since then, many of them that I also listen to. I don't know if anybody else is out there. Maybe by show of hands. I'm a programmer for a living. So I sit behind code all day long. I'm a code monkey. I sit there in my headphones, and I listen. I need something to listen to. So we support and want other people to make shows. It's something we've always done. I've been on In the Now. I've been on RFA. I've been on all these shows. We all help each other out. It's just a very supportive community, and that's one of the things I really want to emphasize. Is,
and it's a whole lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it's a blast. So, yeah, we have created one of our sites. You might have seen the logo scroll by at some point, DDP Hack Radio. All hacking all the time. 24 hours, it's streaming. We have actually scheduled shows. Binary Revolution Radio comes out every Tuesday at, I don't even know what time our show comes on. Tuesday night.
9:30.
There you go. Eastern.
Every Tuesday, 9:30 to 11.
There you go. And we have certain shows in certain slots. And then now there's BaseNet. There's several shows. We have a whole scheduling grid. And when they're not playing, the last four or five episodes of each show will be played in reruns, some speeches, some of the talks that we can download and put on MP3s. We're working on putting some other stuff up there content-wise. So all that out there. And not only that, but we have a site, hackermedia.org, which is run by Super Droops, if you saw Droops flying along there. And actually, that's only growing. A redesign should be a relaunch of that site completely soon. And that has links to several different technology, hacking and non-related, non-hacking, just very all technical related stuff that might be of interest to hackers. So hackermedia.org and ddphackradio.org, if you're interested, you might check those out and follow up with some of those. So, started off the show focusing on technology. We've done, I guess it's better to just give some examples. We've done episodes on rainbow tables. We've done episodes on SQL injection. We've done episodes on different operating systems, different security tools. I mean, we've done 156 episodes before now. So anything you might be interested in, we've probably done at least some episode on it, or we'll be doing something on the future. And that's where, if anybody wants to be on the show or has something that they think we've missed, by all means get in touch with us. We'll be glad to put people on the show. And that's the kind of turn that we've really taken with the show in season 3 when Black Ratchet took over. So why don't you talk a little bit about what you've done with season 3?
I did stuff with season 3.
Yes,
Black Ratchet, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay! I don't even remember what it was. Right, it was.
I forced it on you.
Well, no, you didn't force it on me. Around March, Stank, you know, calls me up and says, "Hey, you know, real life is rearing its ugly head. Would you be interested in taking over the show?" And I said, "Me? What's wrong with you?" I always have little things cropping up at the last minute, so I suggested that myself and Strom Carlson take it over. And Stank was apprehensive about it, but we took it over and. We took it over and we ran it for a full season or three quarters of a season until I had to real life shook its little hand and I got a ring on my finger and I'm married now, so that's not. I had to give it up, but I had a good excuse. God, apparently you don't know me. So, yeah, I mean, the changes to really, we kept mostly to the original format. Stank, the only thing, like, he said the three things you need to do is you need to keep the theme song, do the email, and something else, and I think we did all three. I think that was one of them. Yeah.
Same hack time, same hack channel.
Yeah, that was it, the outro, same hack time, same hack channel.
There you go.
We implemented some things. We actually did some live shows, and we actually did a lot of live shows because we were both very bad procrastinators. And they worked out for the most part. There was we kind of started to fire on all cylinders right toward the end. Go figure. But everything kind of worked out, and now we turned it back over to Stank, and Stank took it over again.
Well, I enjoyed them. I enjoyed them myself, and came in again. I took over here towards the end. I was able to get some free time back again to take over while Mr. Ratchet became Mr. Ratchet and Mrs. Ratchet. So that was very cool. And I was kind of going to save the announcement for the end, but I mean, I guess we can go ahead and say that we are going to continue. There's been rumors that we were going to end it with this episode of the show. And that is not going to be the case. I have talked with Ratchet. I've talked with Droops. And between the three of us and possibly some others, we all realize that real life does get in the way. And without going into detail, I travel a lot for work. And real life comes in a lot. Sometimes I just physically can't really record a show easily. So between the three of us, we're going to keep the show going. And we're kind of going to rotate maybe a month on, a month off, or just fill in whenever somebody else can't make it. So between the three of us, I feel confident that we can keep the show going with a little help from everybody out there as well, of course. So I am happy to announce that.
Now, one thing I'd like to say is that when listening to the BinRev shows, I mean, I did my show. There's a lot of the shows I've seen out there. But the one thing I really liked about BinRev is that they've actually brought in a lot of interesting people to interview. So, you know, you, on my show, you get to hear my, you know, voice all the time. You know, it's nice to hear someone new, and it's nice to change things up. And they've brought some really good people on the show. So it's a great show.
Come on, I'm the ebonic redneck. Nobody wants to hear me talk. My voice is not. I'm not Howard Stern. I don't have the radio voice. I'm not WNBC. I can't pull that one off.
No, you're Mr. My throat is so dry. I need some sweet iced tea.
Yeah, I don't have. It's New York City. Where am I going to get sweet iced tea in this freaking town?
Why don't you swear?
Yeah, I know. That's the only place I have found it.
That's the only place he's eaten all week.
So. No, see, no true Southerner drinks canned sweet tea. You have to have fresh brewed.
We do have it if you get desperate enough.
Okay, well, I might get that desperate. We'll see.
Yeah,
right
Arizona.
Now I don't have
it's
a
got
cup
75 grams of sugar,
water,
so it's pretty good.
So,
tea ain't nice. That's
and there's, look, there's Duel. How can you not love this guy? Come on. All right, so that's the future of the show. So what are we going to do with the show today? So we've given you a little bit of history. I'm not going to go into listing a whole bunch of other shows. They're out there if you want to find out. Does anybody remember the Cookie Lady story, by the way? Is that anybody who's been listening for a long time? Okay, never mind. That's inside you. All right. Also, stick around. We've got some things to hand out towards the end of the show. And for some audience participation, we've got some stuff we'll hand out as we go along.
Do you see that spindle? Stank burnt his entire porn collection.
Oh, no.
And this is a 20th.
Terabyte.
If you've seen what's on the screen, wait till you see what's on the DVDs.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's all bukkake prawn. And Natas introduced us all to bukkake. So, you got to thank Natas for that.
Did you bring up talking about bukkake to Captain Crunch?
No. Because he was out there. They got prawn on the internet? There's your prawn. That's as close as you can get it. So, and actually, prawn's a topic. Prawn's a topic for the show. There's nothing wrong with a little prawn in moderation. You know, that's what they make. Anyway, we'll go.
Every 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they make lube for. Anyway, we'll go.
Oh, man, that was
so, well, there's one other show I do want to mention, and that's a show that Not Theory and I developed. Mostly Not Theory. I just kind of stood along and went, yeah, that's cool. And that show was Freak Factor, which was something else. When BinRev was kind of taking off, we kind of didn't really, it was very rigid and structured and had a set format to it. And we kind of wanted something a little bit more freestyle. And I tend to stick to the hacking topics. I'm not a phone freak. Everything I've learned about freaking has been from these guys, which is a lot from them, but, you know, that's not my forte. So, one thing I've always appreciated the freaking subculture, for lack of a better word, the things that freaks find interesting. So, Freak Factor I thought was a great idea. It was the world's first reality, what was it?
Yeah, world's first internet hacking reality show. And, it sounds like somebody over here has listened to it. How many people here have heard this show?
Oh, wow. Man.
You're all
impressed.
Sick. You guys don't know the Cookie Lady story, but you've listened to Freak
Hey,
Factor.
Where is that show? Not there?
I think I lost it.
The Cookie Lady story.
Oh, please. We'll
do you really want to hear
that.
The Cookie Lady story? Quick. Well, it's not that much of a story. I mean, I wish I could tell you that I laid the pipe or something, but there's not. That doesn't go that far, unfortunately.
You could just lie, like anybody else would.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, so, yeah. Oh, yeah, we did it lots of times. It was great. No, my 2600 meeting that I attended in Fort Lauderdale had I called it the Everything's a Cookie Store. I don't know why. Because all they sold is cookies. So they had the same girl that always seemed to work in the cookie store every time we had our meeting. So I'd walk over to the Everything's a Cookie Store and I'd just mac on the girl, practice my social engineering skills, which is something you should do anytime, everywhere, whatever you're, no matter who you're talking to, just try to talk, try to get information, just practice social engineering. So I'm over there, I'm macking on this girl. She's a hot chick, but I'm over there macking. But after about two meetings down there, she started to hook me up with some free cookies and free food. So every time I would go there, first thing I go over there and get a bag of cookies.
Code.
So our 2600 meeting always had free cookies from the Everything
Cookie
store. So when I left, the cookie girl was nice enough to make me that cookie that will probably rotate around again, saying that I was moving, which is why I turned the show over to Black Ratchet. So she made me that nice cake saying goodbye, which was very nice of her.
And then
I laid the pipe.
Yeah, buddy!
No, it's a joke! I did not! I did not, for the record, no. Because she might, no, she'll never see this, but if she did. So, I'm sorry, anyway, Freak Factor.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to do something freeform, and like you guys said, it was pretty freeform.
Freeform, you mean call Walmart PA?
Well, that was kind of the problem.
Let's call Walmart 15 times an episode and try to get on the intercom.
Yeah.
Are we on the intercom? I don't know. Well, let me hang up and call back.
I think we are. Did you hear that click? I think we just got hung up on. This is awesome.
But for those of you who
pretty much freak factor.
Who haven't listened to the show, it was originally supposed to run from like 9 till midnight or something
And we weren't going to tape it.
Yeah. And we let it run one night till about 5 a.m. because everyone forgot to shut it off. And there were people on at 5 a.m. still trying to call one of the Walmarts.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So we did it for a couple of weeks, or did we do it for a couple of months?
No, we did it several months. It went like 15 episodes, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, too long. But the funny thing is, at first when we started doing it, people were like, this is the worst show ever. It's terrible.
Everybody listen closely, okay? Listen closely to this part of the story.
It can't last. There's no reason to have it on the air.
It's horrible. It's
and then
insane.
As soon as we decided, you know what? Nobody likes the show. We'll take it off. We got letter after
Where's
letter.
Freak Factor?
Where's Freak,
Where's Freak
Where
Factor?
How am I supposed to call Walmart now? So that's just kind of annoying. Do we still get letters about it?
I don't know.
Hopefully by now it's died out.
I miss it, personally. It,
you know, I miss it too.
Had I not been banned
from Newfoundland, we would still have the show.
If anybody wants to donate enough terminations, hey, there you go. Why don't you...
Yeah, if anybody wants to give us the IDs for the show, we'll put it back online and have the weekly clusterfuck.
You have to rename the show to the weekly clusterfuck.
Yeah, right.
That's fine by me. I think we're allowed to use that kind of potty mouth. What's this?
Why don't you just have the show in a Walmart? Yeah.
That's a good idea. I already work at Walmart.
You know what?
So.
That would be the one. That would be the one episode that they don't call Walmart.
Right.
Let's call Rite Aid.
Lowe's, dude.
See, hackers are the type of people that would still sit there and try to get on the intercom at Walmart instead of walking over to the intercom at Walmart and saying what they want to say. So, Freak Factor coming back soon?
You know, like I said, all we need is the IDs. We can get it back online, but I'm too lazy to search. I've been banned from a whole bunch of providers. And
yeah, Freak Factor
point,
is not...
It's not worth it for me.
Yeah, we've exhausted a lot of our efforts. So if anybody does have any suggestions, we'd be glad to hear those as well. So let's see here. We are... Now, the show runs for an hour and a half. Normally, that's why we're on. It's the last show at the end of the day here. End of the night, I should say, is because we run an hour and a half every week. Actually, we originally started to do, and it was going to be a one-hour show because we were putting this in a rotation on Rant Radio, another great site if you want to check that out, Rant Radio, Rant Media as it is now. They have TV and everything, where they also play Hack TV, another one of our projects, but I digress. So probably the second or third episode, we realized that we talk too damn much. We're not going to be able to contain ourselves in 1 hour. So, because we end up rambling and going off into these stories. You know, how about I can do the Deadly Halon story, if anybody remembers the Deadly Halon story.
Deadly
Because that's really one of my, I love telling the story. I'm gonna tell the Deadly Halon story. Alright, I used to work, first of all, does anybody know the Deadly Halon story? They've heard the radio episode? Good, so a lot of you haven't heard it, so this is gonna be great. I'm gonna come down here. I'm gonna come down and... I want to make sure I act it out and give it due justice. All right, so I'll start here. I used to work third shift, which I'm sure a lot of hackers can relate to that. I worked third shift for a we'll call it a computer company, general terms, doing third shift operations, which means I was a tape monkey. Now I'm a code monkey. I'm a monkey. It doesn't matter what. So my job was pretty much come in third shift, and they literally told me, it's a dream job if you actually sit back and think about it. They actually literally told me, you can sleep. We don't care. Just make sure those tapes get swapped in. So I went in. I had the Timex Datalink watch, which was uber elite. The tapes would take, you load six of these tapes, this was an old mainframe, or actually an old AS400, which is what I presented at HOPE last year. Load these six tapes up there, right? Tape cycle takes almost an hour on the dot. That's pretty convenient. Bam, every hour set my alarm. So I'd be asleep, bring in my pillow, my blanket. Boss didn't even care as long as I got the stuff done. So, and I was going to college at the time, I was working some day jobs at the time, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm pretty exhausted. I come in there, load my tapes up, do a couple other parts of the job, run some stuff, and load the six tapes up. Then I'd head back in the office. Bam, out go the lights. And the only thing I got is the dim green and black glow, which is where I, you know, have that whole connection to black and green that everybody hates. And I'd be there asleep. And then I'd hear the beep, 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 you know, my watch would go off, and I'd get up, I'd walk in, swap out six tapes, put the other six tapes, go back in, and I'd go to sleep. So I'm actually out there, and I hope the camera can keep with me here. I'm actually out in the room. Now, I was, I'm old now, we'll leave it at that, but I was probably 20-ish at the time, 21, somewhere around that range. I hadn't seen heavy metal computers. I hadn't seen a room full of big servers. You know, I'd seen racks and stuff like that, but I'd never seen these big heavy metal mainframes and stuff like that. So I was kind of intimidated by the whole thing. And to make it worse, inside this data center, which was uber cool, raised floors, pressure sensors, all this bullshit in the floor, I didn't know what any of this stuff was. And I find myself always wondering in the back of my mind, on the inside of every one of the doors was a sign that said, warning, deadly halon. I don't know what the fuck halon is. I never heard of halon before. I've never even seen these big things. Who has halon? Like, I've got that in my house somewhere, you know? So I don't know what halon is. All I know is there's a big fucking warning. Deadly is not a word you fuck around with, right? Deadly means fucking deadly. You know, I don't play when it comes to deadly. Deadly means that's your ass, right? So there's this big sign that says, warning, deadly halon. And I see these tanks, and the tank's got the whole skull and crossbones. I'm like, fuck, man, I don't want to get close to that shit, right? Pipes running up into the ceiling, whatever. I didn't know what it was. I asked. I was told that, you know, if the things catch on fire or something, the halon kicks in, sprays, and puts it all out. And I said, oh, well, they got the signs. They have the halon. You know, well, if, you know, if it happens, you just leave. Oh, no problem with that part of it. So this is what happens one night. I'm in the middle of a cycle. My alarm goes off. I wake up. I've got the tapes in my hand. And these tape loaders, I don't know if you've seen them, they're about shaped like this or about right to that level. So I walk in. I got six tapes in this hand. I pull these tapes out. I put them all in. I got six tapes, six in this hand, six in this hand. I'm getting ready to transition them over. All of a sudden, the fire alarm to the building goes off. I don't know that the fire alarm is different from the halon alarm. I don't know what the fuck's going on. All I know is I'm asleep, and I kid you not, I swear it with God as my witness. Bam! 12 tapes in the air. Wham! It was like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. It was like Wile E. Coyote when there's the dust, but he's all the fucked away over here, and the dust is still back there. I took off. I hit the door like O.J. fucking Simpson. Bam! I spin through the door. I could have tried out for the NFL that night, and I would have been first string on any NFL team. I was outside, running through the parking lot before the tapes hit the ground. I was scared. That's the only time in my life when I have been scared shitless. I didn't know what was going on. And then I'm out in the parking lot, and I'm like, what the fuck did I do? What are you doing? Okay, so the good thing about this is self-preservation is alive and well. So I've got that going for me. Okay, so that's cool. I know that I will save my ass if the need arises. So I'm out there, and I'm out of breath just from telling the story. I actually was in a little bit of shape then. I'm out there. I don't know what to do. I'm sure as shit not going back in that room. I can tell you that. Alarms going off and everything. I run over to another building that was also part of our property. I get on the phone. Keep in mind, this is about 3:30 a.m. I'm on the phone, calling up my boss. Alarms! Delia! Run! Freaking out still, because I didn't know what to go on. And my boss was like, calm down, oh, no, that's the fire alarm. It's been going off all day. So he says, just go in there and set it off. I'm not going. I sat over there for a few minutes thinking, do I really like this job that much that I'm going to go back in that building? So, yeah, I finally balled up. I go over, I pull the door open, you know, is everything all right? I don't even know what saline smells. It smells like bad ass for all I know. I don't know what it smells like. So I open it up. I look in there. The alarm's blinking off. I hit the little reset button. Tiptoe down into the room. Everything seems fine. 12 tapes scattered. Of course I didn't label them, so I had to start all the fucking way back over. So, that's the Deadly Haline story. That's been like on season one that everybody, yeah, that's the funniest thing. And yes, another thing, in case you can't tell, I don't mind telling stories at my own expense. I realized I was a complete chicken shit. One time in my life, that's the one time where I wish I would pay every dollar that I had to stand above the whole scene and watch myself. I wish there were security cameras or something, because I would love to have seen the look on my face, because I know it was pure terror. So, anyway,
story. You all got to hear Stank drop the F-bomb.
What's that?
You all got to hear Stank drop the F-bomb in that story a couple of times.
All right. Well, let me see how we're doing on time here, because we actually have a guest.
23:46.
Okay, so we got a little bit more time. Actually, I want to. I've already been down here, so I'm going to mess up the cameras here and head down and talk, because we've got some other people that I want to acknowledge here. Logos X, everybody who does come to the forums, BenRev.com forums. This is the taskmaster. This is the guy that's going to make sure you obey the rules. Don't post the dirty prawn. No weightlifter pictures. No goatsies. No lemon party. Any of that shit. No, no, no. Not going to have it. No tub girl. No. All off limits. That's the Bland Inquisitor rule.
Just put a tiny URL. He won't know for a while.
So, actually, I see Logic X, a good friend of the show here. Does a great show called Anti-Meme, if you haven't seen that one. Been on RFA a few times as well. So, good to see him here. A couple of guys here from my BenRev 407 meeting in Orlando. If anybody ever comes down to Orlando, down to South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Boca area, there's a meeting down there that's very active, that Logos is active in, and several other people. If you ever come down to Florida, we've got several meetings starting up there and kind of spreading out. Or if you want to start your own, I think there's actually one here in New York, Slicko.
Talk about the meetings. The 2600 SWAT team will kill us.
Oh, no, see, the thing is, a lot of them are combo meetings. So, I mean, we don't care what they call it, you know, as long as people are meeting and with an agenda and a positive. See, like someone said earlier today, someone said that, you know, it's just a gathering. Well, you can gather anywhere. You can gather with your friends anywhere and talk about your fucking MySpace bullshit or talk about your, you know, whatever, your blog. Go cry about it in your blog. I don't care, you know, whatever. But working on projects. I mean, a lot of the stuff, we actually accomplished stuff, which was one of the things I'm the most proud of. I mean, our meetings I gave a presentation earlier today, 5 o'clock, somebody got stuck because of the plane. I had a presentation that I gave. It was something I made up for a meeting. I mean, I've got content for our meetings. We give presentations. We work on projects. We do programming together. We actually work on accomplishing something, which is really what Binary Revolution is all about. So I guess now I'm going to get on a soapbox a little bit because I can do that. Binary Revolution is kind of we set out to change the mindset of hacking, because hackers for years, and I'm not going to pull any punches or kiss any ass or anything here, but hackers for years have been assholes to each other. They really have. They're all a bunch of egotistical, one-up, everybody's trying to outdo everybody else. And we're not. We're all the same people. We should be on the same team. We should be working together on. We're fighting the mass media and some of the stuff that they do. We're fighting against the fishers that are out there that are getting called hackers or calling themselves hackers. People out there that are stealing credit card numbers and they're getting into trouble and committing fraud. All kinds of stuff going on out there. We want to get away from that kind of stuff. We shouldn't be infighting with each other. We shouldn't be having this whole thing where, oh, well, my group is better than your group or my show is better than your show. No, we can all coexist. So I don't mean to be a whole, you know, can't we all get along? But seriously, can't we all get fucking along? Is that really so hard? So, Binary Revolution, we started off with, when the radio show and the forums and everything started off on stankdog.com, which was just my site where I was had, I've been in 2600, I don't know, 10 times or something like that, I don't know. I would put the articles that I've written on the site for people to download. I put up forums to discuss them. And it kind of started growing, and I didn't like the fact that it was on my site. So, and it's actually Rax that came up with the name Binary Revolution. Yeah. Rax, our creative genius.
Give it up.
The revolution will be digitized. And that's what we set out to do, is like, we're going to put everything under BinRev, and we're going to try to get the community back together. No more of this infighting. Or if you do want to get into this infighting bullshit, you do get into this infighting bullshit, get the fuck out. And that's kind of my motto. I had this little hiatus like last year. Some people know I kind of pulled away because I got a lot of shit for the way I run things. I'm a forum Nazi and a fascist and all this stuff. I'm sorry, no goatsy. Fuck off. You don't like it? Fuck off. It's that simple. So my whole philosophy now is stafu or get to foe. It's that simple. Shut the fuck up or get the fuck out, because the revolution is going to continue with or without you. I want it to be with everybody. I want everybody to be on the same page with this. And I want everybody to participate, even if it's just little things here and there, being on the radio show, writing an article for the magazine. We do Hack TV, a video show. We've got all these different things that we're doing. Plus, we'll help you promote anything else. And this is probably a good segue right now to, it's not just us and our projects and DDP this or whatever. We do a lot of other things for people that we support. And actually, this will segue into our special guest tonight. People that we all know, I'm not going to go over this cliche, that hacking is about freedom. It's about freedom of information. It's about sharing knowledge and sharing things. And people that are producing stuff for the love of it. I mean, I love hacking. I absolutely love hacking. We won't go into the definition of what hacking is, but it's who I am. It's what I do. It's what all of us do. So anybody that has a passion for something and they're putting it out there for the community and sharing and bringing people together, that's the kind of people that we support. So we host some websites for people like that. We assist in other people's projects. I go on other people's shows and things like that. And our special guest tonight, who's sitting out in the audience, look around. Look around. There might be somebody out there. Is somebody that I've been a fan of for a while. I have a lot of weakness, but I have two glaring weaknesses.
Cookie
One
lady.
Is art. What was that?
Cookie lady.
Cookie lady. One is art. I can't draw stick people. My stick people are retarded. They absolutely can't. I can't even draw anything. I can't draw a circle with a compass. I can't do anything artistic. And second, I can't do anything musically. I just don't have that skill set. I'm not that good at it. So I have a lot of respect for people who can do those things. So some of the graphics that you've seen up there have been from some great people. CypherX, who's fantastic and does a lot of our logos. Logan Five, who did a lot of the design and layout of our magazine and stuff like that. But there's a musician that I've been following for several years who's commonly referred to as the father of nerdcore hip-hop. If anybody doesn't know who I'm talking about, he's actually the 579th most best rapper, something like that. And that person is Rax. No, that person is MC Frontalot, right back there. Can you come on up with us? Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it. Man, I'm sweating from pounding the podium. Okay. MC Frontalot, ladies. How many people have already heard of MC Frontalot?
Yeah.
Have a seat, bud.
Hello.
So. Now, see, I told you we'll have actual content, not just me ranting and pounding and everything, but MC Frontalot, see, product placement.
Special physical media.
Put it in front of the microphone.
There we go.
Who? Now, some of you who've been listening to the show for several years know that we've already closed out with some of MC Frontalot's music. That's one of the other things we've done with the show from day one. And you can tell me, some of these people I know that you're friends with, so feel free to help me out with some of these. I know Brad Sucks is the one that we've used a lot. Compressor, who you've actually worked with. Compressor, which we might actually talk about that. I don't know if that's off the limits, but we might talk about Compressor. Several, I mean, too many to listen, but several of them have been from MC Frontalot. And tonight, we'll have another special closing number from MC Frontalot off that new album, so stick around for that. But I thought we'd ask some questions, and actually anybody that has some questions, I'm going to go ahead and start off, but if anybody has any questions, feel free to jump in. First of all, for those who aren't familiar, what is nerdcore and what is nerdcore hip-hop?
Well, that's an excellent question.
Oh, by the way, I thought you were going to be black.
Oh, yeah. I meant to be black for this, but then I had a bunch of stuff to do earlier today, and then actually, I should really just start and say thanks for having me up here, and I like that this convention exists, and I'm looking forward to hanging out here all day tomorrow. And I really kind of love the way that Net Radio is shaping up, too. I love that folks who don't have that, like, sort of cheesy radio voice and, like, cheesy radio personality can put talk radio together and have, like, real interest programming, and, like, people who actually are interested in hacking can talk about hacking every week for a long time and actually pull an interesting show off. And I'm into that because you're not just, I mean, you're sort of hacking the industry standards.
Absolutely.
And the whole shape of media at that point. Not to sound grandiose.
Well, but you're doing a similar thing with the whole, independent publishing of music has taken off for years now, but with the onset of file sharing and peer-to-peer, as much as they want to bash it, that's a very common thing that you'll hear about on the show. The closest thing we'll actually get to politics is talking about some of that stuff and the freedom of music and people who, you know, how is it, I mean, how do you... You have to be able to spend a lot of time to make music. I know that. How do you pull it off? How do you do that?
Sure. Well, you know, basically anyone who doesn't have a job has enough time to make a bunch of music. That's not so difficult. Getting people to be able to hear it has, up until really recently, been just like a big pain in everybody's butt, because there's, you know, these companies, and they have the deals with the radio stations, and they mostly have a lock on which 20 records everybody in the country gets to hear every year, and then that just fell apart.
And, like, out of those 20, how many end with Simpson?
That music's not interesting to everybody, but it's interesting to a bunch of people, and so it made sense for their business model, and now all of a sudden, they're, like, anybody who's interested in some weird song about getting peed on at a Star Wars convention can
email. Does anybody know that about...
We don't need to go into it, but... Anybody who hears that and thinks that that's something that their friends would also find titillating and or amusing can email that to their friends and just sort of create a web of music distribution themselves that has completely subverts the music companies. The downside being nobody has to pay to receive email with my song in it. But that ends up working out anyway, because you build fans who are, like, real fans, who didn't get the media pushed to them on the top 40 or whatever, who came to it because they're naturally interested in being really into it. And then they stop by and, like, donate some money or buy a CD or a T-shirt. All of my indie rock friends who've been struggling at this for a long time had told me that the music industry was the T-shirt business, and that actually is true. But eventually you guys will figure out how to hack into the T-shirts and pirate those, and then I'll be out of luck. But for now.
Well, and actually, there's a funny joke. Of course, we know you're joking. There's a funny joke on the first track of this album about somebody releasing the album on BitTorrent.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
because this you've put this stuff. Actually, can we back up to? I don't want to say, because I don't know if this is true. But Songfight, was that like the beginning of?
That was the beginning. The Penny Arcade guys heard the first song I did on Songfight, which was Yellow Lasers, and then they linked to it, which promptly like destroyed Songfight's ability to have internet connected to their web server, and then. After that, a bunch of people had heard of me. Like, anybody who's ever heard of me, pretty much, it's because Penny Arcade picked me up after Songfight. Songfight is this great thing if you haven't heard of it. They invent song titles, and then all of these amateur bands write songs that have that title. So every week they'll post, like, 10 songs called Yellow Lasers, and everybody votes on who came up with the best song for that name. And nobody wins anything. It's very indie. I mean, somebody wins, but you win a great big, like, bowl of steam. Hot cup of nothing.
And you've created most of the work, and how I originally found you was also through Songfight. Lots of great music that we've picked up through there. There's even knockoff Frontal Little Squad, and with some other friends of the...
They're like the guys in the second issue of Dark Knight who like paint themselves like Batman and go around chopping the hands off.
Or Batmite? No.
No, they're not like Batman. I would never say that.
See, now, that's a geek reference that, you know, that's nerdcore, see?
Batmite and Scrappy-Doo should probably have a strangling contest with each other.
Well, and... There's one line, one of my favorite lines from one of your songs is from, I believe it's from Braggadocio, that says, and I'm sure everybody can relate to this, it says, I hope I get this right, it says, I sap clock cycles from sucker MCs as they struggle to parse.
Sap clock cycles from the sucker MCs.
Who else is going to get lyrics like that? I mean, is that not... Beautiful. I mean, not like
you're making me blush.
I'll pop a cap in your ass, or I'm gonna, you know, I'm gangster. I'm gonna shoot your mama's baby daddy, whatever. It's I sap clock cycles from sucker MCs like you who struggle to parse. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, we need to be supporting. There's more stuff like that out there. Come on. Seriously. Simpson and all the crap that she's doing. And
don't let
Snake
fool you. He's
songs.
A huge Ashley Simpson fan. If you ever seen his room.
Oh. Yeah.
Just because I went to the concert, I'm a fan.
Dude, I've seen the poster in your room. Don't even go there.
And the picture
under your bed.
I'm just glad he hasn't brought up my obsession with American Idol. You need to go on American Idol. That's
you know my mom when American Idol first came out, my mom was really excited to introduce me to. She's like, you should go on this show. You should go and rap MC Frontalot on this show. Wouldn't that be you could win? And first of all, I was like already 28 at that point. I'm like, Mom, the show is for children. They only have children on it. B, it's on Fox, the most distasteful of media conglomerates. And C, they would hate me. You want to watch people hate your son on national television?
Oh, well, you did just release an album. Now, like you kind of said, releasing all this stuff for free and the music industry and t-shirts and stuff like that. Let's go ahead and put this out there and just be done with it. You're selling the album.
I am now selling a record, yeah.
So, but at least half of those tracks are still freely downloadable off the website.
All the old demo versions of them are on the website. A couple of the real tracks off the CD are on the website. You can get them all on iTunes and whatever. And you can, of course, pirate it if you are intent on doing that. That's the sort of the...
That's not, yeah, that's
the
not...
Jokey
see, piracy
thing.
And hackers are not really the, you know,
oh,
so...
I know, but as music listeners, like, we've all kind of fallen into this bizarre giant honeypot of music appearing free on your hard drive if you type it into Google. So it's like, we're all casually, like... borrowing music, even if we buy CDs afterwards. The jokey first song that you mentioned, Charity Case, kind of addresses that. It's like, in this world where anybody who can rub the two sides of their keyboard together, actually, that would be hard. Anyone who could rub two keyboards together.
They have the foldable ones. We'll go with that.
There we go. Can get music for free. And so if you're selling music, you're basically just sort of have your hand up. You're like, please support me by... trading me your donation for my, like, free gift CD that you get. It's like the PBS tote bag or something. And on a certain scale, that works out great. Like, my fans are really generous, and they like to have the, you know, this thing that you can't quite get on BitTorrent yet, which is, this is really the extent of the CD right now. It's this, like, hello, tiny piece of paper. Unpiratable.
Excuse me, we're not going to call the DMCA on you.
Ink or something.
That's right. Your scanner will explode.
But I'm gonna put MC Frontalot on the spot right now. I'm gonna commit him to something without his knowledge.
Uh-huh.
But you can't get it autographed like you can get it tomorrow downstairs.
Oh, that's right. I will be downstairs signing stuff, selling stuff, shaking hands.
Scan his autograph and then Photoshop it.
Oh, that's not the same.
I was going to do that so my hand wouldn't get tired.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll have a whole stack prepared, and you don't even have to stick around. You can just put them on there, and I'm sure...
No, I'll be hanging out if you guys want to hang out. Oh, and you know, as long as we're plugging appearances, if any of you are still in town, Sunday night I have a show
at Club Midway on Avenue B, and you should check it out. It's at like 9:30. Actually, the show starts at 8:30. There's two people in front of me. They're both really good.
Yeah, you suck for making it so late because I can't make it.
18 plus. I literally scheduled it then because I misread his email that said he was going to be in town. I did this show just for you.
Damn,
you guys
well,
can benefit at his expense.
But we are still going to be down there tomorrow, so come down and hang out, chat, get some CDs, T-shirts, that kind of good stuff. But, I mean, still, you've been putting up new tracks even since they came out. There's the Doggy Fresh.
Oh, yeah, I'm always working on stuff.
So there's always stuff on the website. It's not like, you know, it's different supporting an independent artist who's putting it out at a reasonable price. You got a reasonable price for our special one-time offer for the Sixth Hope attendees. So we'll, he says, silently nodding his head. We'll figure that out between tonight and tomorrow. So, but really, it's not like you're not going into the store and getting raped for $20 for the new. Why am I stuck
yes,
on?
There will be no rape today? Involved if you buy my record. I can.
But if you put in a couple extra
almost
bucks,
guarantee.
If you put in a couple extra bucks, Natus will be around. Okay. Now, if Natus gets tired, I will step in on an occasion for a break. But other than that,
talking like that, what do you guys have against that lemon party picture anyway? That's
oh,
kind
no.
of hot. That's like my background on my laptop.
Actually, that was the funniest episode of Freak Factor, in my opinion, where
yeah.
we called the internet.
Yeah, we called the internet, and there's a segue. Well, there's a website. Let me give you the background.
Frank's got to hear this. I don't know if he knows the story. You got to tell
there's
the story.
There's a website called calltheinternet.org, and it's just a phone number. I don't know if there's really any other content on that site.
No, I just found it and called it and thought it would be funny.
Yeah, so he calls it, and, you know, these guys are just like, hello, this is the internet. So we really have no idea what they're there for.
Now, I had called this number, like, for weeks before the show, and I would just call them just to be an ass and go, yeah, the internet's slow. Can you reboot it for me? And I just to annoy him, just over and over again. And then we decided, let's do something on the show and see how long we can drag him on.
Yeah, so we keep pushing these guys and pushing them and pushing them. We finally ask if they can go to, you know, different websites. And then, of course, lemonparty.org comes up. So,
because our internet was down, so we asked them to read.
Naturally. And
briefly have no access to Lemon Party.
The content's so dynamic, we wanted to know what was there that day. So we mentioned the site, and there's a pause. And then all of a sudden, without really missing too much of a beat, the guy says, well, there's three elderly gentlemen enjoying each other's company.
It was great. These guys were the greatest sports. They were so cool to play along. If for some reason they see this, that was really fun. I was cracking up laughing.
Yeah,
that
was definitely the best. Because
I think we even pushed them and went like, what do you mean, enjoying? How exactly?
No, it went on for like 10 minutes describing this picture.
Oh, yeah. That was just the intro to the description. He just kept going and going and going. And
what do you
well,
mean?
You guys can download it.
We would if the website was up.
Oh.
Maybe you can't download it. We'll work on that.
Oh, man.
I like them apples.
Well, let's go back a little bit to music and some of the other artists that we supported, because I know you're friends with a couple of them. Some of them I mentioned earlier, like you've done the collaboration with Compressor, which I thought was great. I loved that.
I did that actually. He was on Songfight around 2000, and I was on Songfight 2001, and he wrote me an email, and he's like demanding a collaboration. You guys know who Compressor is? Yeah, nobody's too young to remember Compressor. And the whole time we did the collaboration, he would not break character on Compressor. All the emails were like in all caps with no punctuation, like, is good vocal now to make more synthesizer in part two? You know? And we did the whole track that way, and I suppose I should say that I still have no idea whether or not he's just a short, bald dude from Ohio.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't he from, like, Indiana or Ohio or something like that?
I should say that I still have no idea. He actually stopped by while I was living in San Francisco at the time. He stopped by on his road trip, and he had the compressor head in his car, of course. He, like, doesn't really, like, sleep too far away from that thing. And we took a picture, like, across the street from my house, and he put it on, and he crushed an American donut.
Oh, and for anybody who doesn't know, it's compressormusic.com, I think, with a K. Compressor music.com, I believe.
Something like that. You type compressor in the internet, you'll find him eventually.
You can call the internet and ask them.
Yeah.
Call the internet. Now, is he still around? Do you keep in touch with him ever since then?
Yes, I keep in touch with him. And he does tons of different internet stuff, not as compressor. And
oh, he broke character finally.
He has bizarre, like, issues surrounding people knowing what he does. Kind of like a bunch of the people in this room. And those three guys from the NSA in the back who, like, slink down in their seat when you point at them. Homeland Security on the right. Yeah, everybody's got issues, so that's okay. I respect that. I didn't want my face on the internet for, like, 3 years of 4 years of doing MC Final.
Yeah, you actually had that on the page for a while, that you were proud of the fact that there were no pictures. If you used to search for Frontalot, MC Frontalot, there were no pictures out there. It's not
true
anymore.
For years you couldn't find out what I looked like just by casually checking the internet. I was proud of that because people would stick it on their blogs. I would do live shows and they'd put pictures up and stuff, and I would write them a nice letter like, I think it's funny that nobody knows. And they would take it off. But I found out eventually that the legitimate press has no interest in people with no faces, names, or dates of birth. So I just gave up on all that. Decided I'd rather, like, occasionally be covered in the Lawrence, Kansas Journal World, you know.
Well, now you also do, you mentioned earlier, the Penny Arcade. You go do Penny Arcade Expo every year as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Big nerd convention, Seattle. It's a lot of fun. It's all gaming. Basically, gaming-oriented.
I know a lot of people here, and I saw somebody playing, World of Warcraft, is that what they call it, over there earlier. So, yeah, I think you've got a lot of crossover crowd here, so.
Risk? Is that like risk?
Hey, we're going to play a little Texas Hold'em after the show's over. If anybody wants to stick around for some of that, I brought some Texas Hold'em with us, so. Play a little hacker celebrity poker. Know how to play Texas Hold'em?
Oh, yeah.
All right, see, there you go.
Are we celebrities?
You can beat MC Frontalot and brag to all your friends.
Can we get a CD?
Oh, goody.
Yeah,
ooh,
I'll put up a CD as my stake.
Rough. Oh, man. Rough crowd, huh?
I should have a tie on so I can kind of adjust it when I'm going.
I think you're making MC Frontalot break character here.
Now you got to finish that 40 for that comment.
It was going to be the one convention I went to this year where nobody yelled chug chug.
or where somebody didn't bring up Lemon Party.
No, I knew that was going
to happen. All right, so here, okay, rank these in order. Boy, how's this for a fucked up impromptu question? Lemon Party, uh-huh. Tub Girl,
yeah.
Goatsy, and the Weightlifter.
Wait, call up the weightlifter. Not picture.
Oh, no, I can't do that to these. Hold on.
Oh, come on.
Hold on.
I can't do it.
I got to take it off. Are we off of there? Okay, let me. Dude, hold on. What? Hold on. Is there just something surreal that I'm going to show MC Frontalot a picture of the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life?
There's basically no chance I haven't seen it before.
Everyone go to their happy place.
Let's see. let's see.
Sad Girls in Snow.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Beta 3.
I don't know if we have interweb in here. Oh, yeah, you know what?
Owned.
I disabled my interweb. You do not want this on
camera. Actually, can we just call
me.
This is an act of God. He's saving you all right now.
Are you connected to the internet?
I'll just call 411. They'll know the internet.
Call 311. They'll read it for you. No problem.
Yes. Okay, first of all, let's do... Yeah, meat spin is not going to work.
I can just rank.
You chat while I bring up the prompt.
Sank, are you plugged in?
Do you guys want to hear some rapping? I could do some rapping.
Yeah.
I brought this thing. Oh, yeah. This is DJ CPU version 0.3 alpha. Let's see here.
You really don't have to.
Yeah!
How's that? Can you hear that?
That would be Meat Spin.
Meat Spin's pretty hot.
Okay. Okay, we're still not up there, right? I don't want to totally.
You didn't hear 50 people scream and cringe and dance. So I think we're okay.
You can go ahead. I'm gonna unplug the audio so it doesn't interrupt.
Yeah, I was gonna rap.
Okay.
I was gonna do the porn song since we're on the topic. If you guys want to hear it, you guys still want to hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Just got hard pressed underneath my desk. No jest, it's time for the lie confessed. At the best of times, got the worst of rhymes. I don't think I'm the worst. My life devoted less to lyrics than it is to my struggle for pyrrhic victory in the race to be the interwebs number one devotee. Of smutty little things that recur on screen, a risque to hey, quintuple X obscene milfs who shave themselves so cleanly. Twins in positions unseemly. My spleen ain't the part that gets vended. I grabbed a hold and fap like I'm in it. Descended, probably ought to leave it alone. Spend more time stroking on the microphone. Got a boatload of midgets in the Rin command of a full-grown woman on her knees and hands. Got a donkey and a farm girl too, and the brain so dismaying when he starts to spoo. I usually have backup singers for that. You gotta click. Close, put it away, because the internet is F-I-L-T-H-Y.
That is F-I-L-T-H-Y.
Should I do the second verse? Yeah? Let's speed it up a little. Lurking in past chans on the IRC, got DCC, done unexpectedly within it. Aw, dude.
The mic's a little off.
Looking in past chans on the IRC, I got DCC, done unexpectedly, with an 80-minute X-Vid, Nuns in Heat, Part 3, Bad Habits, I'm so elite that I had that one already. Skipped to the park with the fishnet teddy, whipped it out, but to my chagrin, one toss from a win when the boss walked in, said, nuh-uh, front that terminal A, for a latex crucifix, spanking a taint, in big 32-bit color, while them rosary beads gets yanked out the crawler. I said, you can't find me, I quit, opened up the case, yanked out the hard disk, absconded, all with the data in hand, 31 years of hustler scans, plans for how to construct a love swing, all dot binaries dot everything archived since spring of 92. Receipt from my real doll stripper shoes. Tools for an online poll. I ran vote once.